God, I want to receive from you today. I'm ready. I'm in. Let's go.
I want to speak on truth today. I might get... No, it's all right. I don't know how much to just let go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was an apprentice, our first year apprentice, you go to a job with a tradesman, and sometimes it's electrical apprenticeship, and like you do a few jobs, and the customer might say, oh, while you're here, can you put a PowerPoint in there? All tradesmen hate that, just if you didn't know, because they got their schedule. But I remember working with this one guy, and he said, no, you can't do that. It's impossible. You can't put a PowerPoint there. And I'm like a first-year apprentice, not much experience, but I'm thinking, I could put a PowerPoint there. What do you mean you can't put a PowerPoint there? But when you're a first-year apprentice, you're not going to tell the tradesman what to do. But you know what? I walked away scratching my head. He just didn't want to do it. So he lied. Hey? Yeah, today, it's very difficult to find a decent motor mechanic, a decent dentist. Oh, my gosh. The new culture out there for dentists is how much money they can make. So they're always saying, do you want fries with that? Do you want a filling with that? Do you want a crown with that? Can't afford any of it. That'd be ridiculous. And they all drive around in Mercedes. So how much can you trust them? I'm not saying you can't trust people that drive Mercedes. I'm just saying, if someone wants to say, I got a filling the other day and it's sorer now than it was before. I didn't even know I had this filling. I thought maybe I didn't need the filling. So how do you know? So you got handouts on there, and I want us to ask the question today, what's the truth? I think never before, and I'm just going to, you can sack me later, I'm leaving anyway, so. I actually do believe, and it's just my opinion, you can form your own opinion, but that the Jewish people are still God's chosen people, right? That doesn't mean they always do the right thing, okay? And I'm not sure they're doing the right thing right now. Look through the whole Old Testament, the Jewish people didn't always do the right thing, okay? So I'm not sure they're doing the right thing right now. But doesn't mean God is a covenant-keeping God. And he better be or we're all in trouble, right? And the Bible says his love, his loving kindness, his hesed, I don't know if that's the right way you pronounce it, but the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, his loving kindness endures forever. So he'll always love the Jews, no matter how stupid they are. And the good news is he'll always love us, no matter how stupid we are. Does that make sense? But you know what? In the Middle East right now, we don't know who's telling the truth. Do we? Who's telling the truth? We don't know. That's a bit more serious than going to the dentist or the motor mechanic. It's very easy to get confused. We may have more information, but the basic problem is no different to Jesus' day. There were all kinds of people around with all kinds of opinions. That's true, isn't it? Don't have to go far to find an opinion. Just look in the mirror. And especially on spirituality. Man, everyone has an opinion on that. Well, God has an opinion too. Funny that. Who you should worship, how you should worship. So Jesus addressed this problem as part of his Sermon on the Mount. And that's what I want to look at today. There are 3 points that Jesus raised that I want to look at. On how we can discern what's true and what's not true. And in my, wish I could say short, but not as short as it used to be, life, I think discerning what's right and what's not right, or what's true and what's not true, is harder than it's ever been. I might be wrong, but it seems harder than it's ever been. So the first point this morning is, I can't believe everything I hear. Do you believe everything you hear? No. And we don't want to get cynical. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but we need to be wise. Matthew 7:15, this is where Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. And you know what? I'm just going to say it today. Some of the falsest prophets are inside the church. Some of the greatest nonsense I've ever heard comes from inside the church. So just because someone calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean you can believe what they say. Can you just make a note of that? Just if I want to sit in a garage and call myself a car, does that make me a car? Stole that from Joyce Meyer, but I've always liked it. Just because I call myself a Christian doesn't make me a Christian. Jesus was saying that there are people out there who don't tell the truth. So don't be naive. Be discerning. Learn to tell what is true and what isn't. Jesus was saying, don't believe everything you hear, even if it sounds credible. A lot of things sound credible, don't they? You know, I didn't want to, but in my studies, I had to do a research subject. And I was terrified, but it's actually quite interesting. Not all research is good research. Have you ever heard people say, well, the research says, Steve, you need to be quiet, mate. Not all research is good research. So just because someone says the research says, that's a bit like the survey says. Well, it depends who they research. It depends how many they research. It depends how they research it. So just because the research says, you probably should do your own research. Is that okay? And if there's a bunch of research out there, read more than one article on that particular research. Years ago, I used to watch Dr. Phil because I thought he had a bit of credibility. It was about 20 years ago, okay? And I actually think he did have some credibility. Now he seems more like the Jerry Springer show, so I stopped watching him. And years ago, he said this, I thought it was quite sensible. He says, my wife doesn't take any prescription from a doctor without researching it for herself. I thought, that's really sensible. She hasn't done the same thing with Botox, evidently. Hey, we can be really discerning one day and really dumb the next, can't we? Just saying. Just because you're smart today doesn't mean you're going to be smart tomorrow. Some days I get it really right. Some days I get it really wrong. Don't trust yourself too much. Just so you know. That's right. And you know what? Trust faithful people. I got a word from my mum this week. It was a good word. My mum doesn't give me many words. She sent me a text. She said, I've got a word for you. And then she does that. She'll just say, hi, mum. She'll watch later. She'll say something and leave it hanging. And then you don't know how do I respond to that? So I just said, do you want to text it or do you want me to ring? And she said, I'll text it. And I'm not going to share with the word what it was, but it was personal and it was powerful. But you know why? I mean, just it hit the right spot, first of all. But secondly, I can believe it because I know who it came from. My mum is 84 years old. She's been following Jesus probably her whole life. And the proof is in the pudding. I watch how she treats people. I watch how she acts. I always struggle with people who lie because I grew up in a house where we were all brutally honest, maybe too honest. And so I've struggled to even understand. Now I've learned to understand why people lie and how that happens and how it becomes habitual and all that kind of stuff. But for a long time, I didn't understand it because I never experienced it in my household, praise God. So when my mother says something, I'm going to believe her. If she was watching some preacher talk and she sensed a witness in her spirit about something he said and she felt it was for me, I'm going to receive that. Does that make sense? So we want to check things out. Not everything we hear is true. Number two, there's a high price for believing lies. Have you found that out yet? Who's found that out yet? Absolutely. If you haven't found it out yet, let's hope you find that out soon. Because Matthew 7:15, Jesus went on to say, they come to you in sheep's clothing. They look good, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I'll never forget praying for these people in a church we used to run. And God gave me a verse for them. I think it was for me. You know what the verse was? Do not cast your pearls before swine. I actually said, God, that's a bit harsh. And he said to me, I felt his spirit say in my mind, you know, just a thought in your mind, Holy Spirit, I think it was. He said, go read the verse. Read the rest of the verse. You know what the rest of that verse says? Don't throw your pearls to swine, or they will turn and tear you to pieces. Wake up, people. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Not everything you hear is true. And the people that look the best and have the biggest lies will throw you under the bus the first chance they get. Hey, come on. God made us with a brain. He made us with a spirit so that we don't swallow every nonsense that someone says to us. And they don't care about you. Hey, you ever followed someone and said, oh, come, you know, come listen, we'll go and do this and we'll go and do this. And they, this great plan, and then they leave you high and dry. I'll throw you under the bus. We need to discern who really cares about us and who doesn't. And go to and follow the people who really care. And the other ones, you know, we are to love them. We are to go, you know, bless you, be nice to them. We're not to follow them and we're not to listen to them. Is that okay? You may have heard of Jonestown. That was a long time ago. Still the greatest tragedy as far as a cult ever. 900 people died from following this one guy. But it's not the only one, which surprised me. In Uganda, 700 people, another of the world's worst cult-related massacres, took place in southwestern Uganda in the year 2000. Jonestown was about early 70s, I think, where some 700 members of the movement for the restoration... Here we go. Ready? You ready for this? This was disappointing. The restoration of the Ten Commandments. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Ten Commandments are pretty good rules to live by. So this guy was a movement for the restoration of the Ten Commandments. Sounds like someone worth following. Well, they all burnt to death. It was a bad idea to follow that guy. It's not the last one. In 1993, 76 members, you may remember this if you're old enough, of a sect in Waco, Texas, including 20 children, 20 innocent children. Hey? Can I say this? If you got kids, you're no longer first. If you got kids, it's no longer about you. Hey, tell the greatest lies of our society is that it's about you, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about others. And when we get that lie turned up right side up, that it's about God and it's about others, our world will be a very, very different place. The world will keep telling you it's all about you. Why do they tell you that? Because they want to sell you their crap and make a lot of money. That's the only reason. Go, oh, it must be about me. No, they just want your money. David Koresh, the charismatic leader of a branch of a Davidian cult, used the name David there, which broke away from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is a fine church and a fine denomination, but they broke away. He died along with many of his followers. So that's just two examples. The other one I want to focus on, that's the life here and now, right? If you want to have a good life here and now, make sure you listen to and follow the right people. The other thing is, it's not just this life now, but it's eternity. Where do you want to spend eternity? Eternity is a very, very long time. Acts 4, 10 to 12 says, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, talking about Jesus, which has become the capstone. Salvation, this is a verse I really want you to hear. Because this is an unpopular verse today. I've never been that popular anyway, so I don't really care. Salvation is found in no one else. See, today they think everyone's going to get to heaven. You can follow Allah, you can follow Hinduism, you can follow Tom, Dick and Harry and some weird New Age rubbish, and you'll get to heaven. No, the Bible does not teach that. Now, you don't have to believe it, but I believe it, and that's what the Bible says. Now, there's some Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who think everyone's going to get to heaven one day. Woo-hoo. Well, why did Jesus die? He wouldn't have had to die if we're all going to get there anyway, okay? Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I have no problem believing that there is only one way to God, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is the only way we can be saved, and therefore he is the only way to heaven. And let's look at it this way, right? If you're a betting person, and eternity is too long for me to take the risk of being wrong. Eternity is too long for me personally. I don't want to end up in the wrong place for all of eternity. The price for me is too high. In this life and the next. At the age of 15, I tried to live without God. I really did. Tried to live without Jesus. I failed at study. I failed at relationships. I nearly failed at finding the God-given destiny God had for me. For me, just for me, okay, it's my testimony, the price of believing and following lies is too high. You make up your own decisions. Number three, we can use biblical tests to discern the truth. Praise God. God's given us some tools if we want to use them. Got excited yesterday because I finally got some hacksaw blades. You know how useful a hacksaw is without a blade? It is a useless piece of metal. And all I need to do is cut something off. But anyway, now I've got 10 hacksaw blades because you can get them from Bunnings for $2.85. 10. It's going to last me till Jesus comes back. I'm a bit excited about that. Think that through. We can use biblical tests to discern the truth. Matthew 7, 16 and 17 says, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit." I love how Jesus says, yeah. You know, as a kid, we used to say nasty things. Did you ever say nasty things as a kid? Sometimes we still say nasty things. I said, "That guy has no brains." And my mum used to say, "God gave everyone the same amount of gray matter." That was her line. God gave everyone the same, just depends how they use it. And I'd say, "Well, they're not using theirs very well." But God gave us all the same amount of gray matter. He gave us a brain to think. He made us in his own image. God has a mind, and so do you, and he expects us to use it. So here's the three tests, right? The first one we've already kind of touched on. You will know them by their fruit. In other words, I can say what I like, but watch what I do. Okay? We can say what we like, but you watch a person's actions over time. I was reading, I've never read the story or seen the movie of Joan of Arc, and now I want to, just looking into it. And Joan of Arc, when she actually won the battles and got victory for France and doing what she felt God had told her to do, the King of France or the nation of France, whatever you want to call it, said to her, "We'll give your village whatever they are, free taxes for the rest of their lives." No, she said, "We'll give you," the king or whoever said to her, "We'll give you whatever you want." And she said, "Give it to my people, not to me." That's what it was. Right? That's the proof in the pudding, is when others, right? Others, not me. Others, when my focus is God and others, that's some of the fruit that you're looking for. Some of the other fruit, you know, Galatians 5:22 is a good start. Love. Now, love is not, "Ooh, I feel lovely," you know, it's not that nonsense. It's love is doing what's best. If I love Tracy, I want to do what's best for her. That's love. If I love Gav, I want to do what's best for him. That's real love. If someone says they love you and they're not doing what's best for you, they're lying. Okay? They have no idea what love is. They think it's some weird hormonal feeling or something. That's not love. That's hormones. You know? What do they call it? No. No, I've moved on from it. Yeah, infatuation. Thank you. Infatuation's not love. It's just good chemistry. Well, it could be bad chemistry. But it's not love. Okay? Joy. You can't fake joy. You know how you see if someone's filled with joy? Get them on a bad day and see if they can still do some. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Someone who sticks around. Is there for you when you need them. That's faithfulness. Gentleness. You can't fake gentleness. Self-control. You can't fake that either. And if you watch someone over time, you'll see if they're full of it or not. People come to me often and say, oh, I think I'm in love with such and such. And I go, okay, well, just hang out with them in a group for at least 6 or 12 months. And you'll see whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. Because you can't fake it forever, friends. People can't fake it forever. They can tell you whatever nonsense they like for, you know, 2 months, 3 weeks, whatever. 6 or 12 months down the track, you're going to see whether they're telling the truth or not. Second test is Jesus' words found in Matthew 12:34 this time. I loved how Jesus preached. This is how Jesus preached to the religious people. You brood of vipers. Hey? And he was still popular. Amazing. Well, he wasn't. They hung him on a cross. Those guys. So, how can you who are evil say anything good? Wow. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Sometimes I hear what comes out of my mouth and I think, I haven't stored up enough good lately. What? It's like a computer. What you punch in is what you get out. Sometimes we're putting in the wrong stuff. We wonder why the wrong stuff comes out. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the second test. Listen to people's words. Particularly when their toothpaste tube gets squeezed. Do you know what I mean by that? When they're under pressure. When people are under pressure, listen to their words. You'll know exactly where they're at. Okay? The third test is the effect of the teaching. There's all kind of teaching around today, inside and outside the church. And some of the teaching in the church is a bunch of nonsense, in my opinion, as well. How do we know it's nonsense? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, but particularly I want you to look at 2 Timothy 2:16-17. It says, avoid godless chatter. Avoid godless chatter. Avoid godless chatter. If you're talking nonsense, just be quiet. Stop talking. Because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You ever seen that in a church? I have. You know how you stop gossip? Stop listening to it. You think it's to stop. Don't pass it on. It's like, no, don't listen to the person gossiping because they're just getting a power trip by gossiping. And if you stop listening to them, you cut off their power. So don't say, oh, I'm not interested in that. Sorry. Change the subject. Easy. Just like small children. You ever diverted a small child? It's a great technique. You just divert them into something else. Well, some adults are just small children in large bodies. And they want to gossip, and so you just divert them to something better to talk about. Don't give them an ear, because they don't deserve it. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hey, gangrene's a nasty thing, isn't it? Paul had some good words there. I love 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. All scripture. Funny, that a lot of people don't believe that today. I still believe it. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching. You know, the Bible actually says the word of God will endure forever. Well, I don't think he's talking about the paper version, but he's talking about Jesus Christ. It's the word. When he rides, comes back, on his side, it says the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. John, the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the word. Jesus was there at creation. The Spirit of God, actually, the Father got the Son, the Word, to speak, let there be light, and the Spirit of God that was hovering over the chaos actually made the world. bang. Okay? And still operates like that today. Jesus is still the word, and he's not going anywhere. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the fruit of people who study the word should be righteousness or good living, being right with God and right with other people, so that the man of God can be thoroughly equipped. The good news is, if we don't feel equipped for ministry, just get into the word of God. You soon will be. Sometimes we're not equipped because we're not in the word. I was talking to someone about this the other day. I've never had this picture before in my mind. But you know, if you're a gold miner or even coal, like anything you want to dig out of the ground, it's worth money. You don't just stand and wait for it to pop out, do you? Like the gold miners in the early days of Australia didn't just stand and go, I know there's gold here somewhere. If we just put the billy on and have a few cups of tea, the gold will pop out soon. Where is it? They dug. And sometimes in the word, you got to dig for the gold. You got to modern, read a verse a day. Got to dig and study. See, we love this verse. Someone said it today. The truth will set you free. We don't like the first. We always take half a verse. Here's the first half. If you hold to my teaching. There's the other half of the verse. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If you don't hold to Jesus' teaching, you're not a disciple. It doesn't matter what you say. If you don't like the Old Testament, read what Jesus said about it. He talked about it all the time. So you better sort that out. Then you will know the truth. Then you will know the truth. If you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. See, we hold some nonsense that we think is truth and wonder why we're not free. Hello? Hello? If we hold to Jesus' teaching, then we'll know the truth. Then we'll be free. Don't just take half the verse. It'll never serve you well. How do I know what's true? Realize that not everything people say, even good people, so-called good people or good-looking people, or how do you say that? People that appear to be good. Recognize that not everything people say is necessarily good or true. Realize the consequences of believing what's not true. You know, there's some things we should be anxious about. People say, you know, you need to manage your anxiety. You know what? You need to get anxious about your eternity. It's a long time. You need to get anxious about some decisions because they have big ramifications. Just be don't be anxious about stuff that's not going to happen. That's a waste of your energy. And use the tests that are in the Bible to test what I hear to see if it's true. I want to finish with this story. When I'd finished being an apprentice, I think I was a tradesman by this stage. Anyway, I was by myself. And I was sent to this house to put in, back in the day, they used to put in one safety switch, you know, like a, so you didn't get electrocuted on two of the power circuits on a house. And so it was this little, you know, they're different these days. So went to this house in Stafford in Brisbane. Lovely old couple. And I opened their switchboard and it was like it had come off the ark. It was old. An old cable wasn't like the new PVC cable. It was originally made out of cloth, then it was made out of rubber. Well, the rubber deteriorated and fell off, and the cloth wasn't much better. It was cloth over rubber, and over time, it would age. That's why PVC is so much better, lasts forever. And so I looked in here, and to put in this safety switch, I had to, you know, take out the power circuits, redirect them, some neutrals, whatever. I didn't want to touch that thing, because once you touch it and the insulation starts falling off, Ma and Pa are going to have their house burned down. Right, so I ring up the workshop, and I said, "Do you guys know? Oh yeah, yeah, they're happy to have it. Da, da, da. Yeah, just put it in. Just put it in." Thinking, well, his responsibility is when the house burns down. So I went and talked to the people, and you know they were a bit concerned. I rang the boss back, and I pushed a bit. I dug a bit deeper. Right, I just dug. I might have been the annoying tradesman that day. I might have been the annoying employee that day, but I dug a little bit deeper. You know what I found out? The foreman had actually quoted to rewire their whole house. And they'd said no. And I said to the boss, I said, did anyone explain to them that their house could burn down? Oh, no. What's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? It's a lovely old couple, right? So I just went to them and I said, oh, look, I heard that you got a quote. And I talked it through with them. It took me probably 5 minutes just to talk through, to show them. You know, I was there for the next 2 days doing a rewire and earned the boss $2,000 or $3,000 instead of $200. Just by dealing with the truth. And I went home and had a good night's sleep that night because I knew the house wasn't going to burn down. The point I want to make is sometimes we've got to dig below the surface, friends. Take a little time, push a little further, and you'll find under the surface that looks so lovely is a bunch of gangrene or something. Right? It's true. So I'm going to invite the band to come up. I think there's just two things I want to do today. Anyway, you can pray whatever you want to pray. I'd like to give an opportunity for people to give their life to Jesus is the first thing. We might get to that, hey? Let's do some worship. You're singing good this morning. Did you hear that? I haven't said it for a while. The Bible doesn't say you've got to make a tuneful noise. It just says you've got to make a joyful noise. So I love it. Just sing your guts out. Because it's from the heart, right? It's just from the heart. And so this is a time when we connect with God. This is your time, if you haven't already, and I'm sure you already have to some degree, where we can really connect with God and tune in to what he's trying to say to us. Okay? Tune in to what he's trying to say to us. So if you want to sing along, if you want to come and pray, and then a couple of things I might say as we finish. But I want you to... Yeah, I don't want to, I'll say it later, I think, because I want you to hear from God for yourself, okay? Whatever God's talking to you about, just quiet your heart, quieten your mind. Sometimes the worship helps us to do that, to focus just on God and just tune and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do I need help in making my decisions? Is it time for me to let go of control? Maybe I've given you part of my heart, but not all of my heart. He wants the whole thing. Hey? He wants the whole thing. So maybe it's time to surrender all of your life to God, not just 10%.